Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And this morning, we are going to be continuing in that series that you have been doing on the feasts of Israel and how they are fulfilled in the life and work of Christ. And you've heard about how these feasts are pictures that God has given to the Jewish people. Pictures to show them who God is and how they should relate to God. And this Feast of Trumpets is a picture just like all the rest. And I'm also going to be using the same two books that Pastor Steve has been using and referencing throughout the series. Maybe you remember that the first four feasts that you learned about were celebrated in the spring, before the summer and the harvest season. And today we come to the fifth feast, the Feast of Trumpets. And this feast would be celebrated in September or October, as we know it on our calendars. And the Feast of Trumpets has come to be celebrated as Rosh Hashanah with the Jewish people, which is their new year. And we can read about this feast in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 25. And that's found on page 98 in your pew Bibles, if you care to follow along that way. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." When I was in high school here at East Kentwood, I was part of the band. And there was a time when we had the privilege to play at Gerald R. Ford Museum when President Reagan was coming to town. And yes, I know that dates me, but it was a day I won't forget. It was a warm and sunny day. There were crowds of people milling around or sitting on blankets, kind of had this festival atmosphere, like people were waiting for a parade to begin. And there was a lot of noise, and it would have been hard for anybody to get their attention at that point in time. And that is where the band came in. As soon as our band director got the signal, we prepared to play Hail to the Chief. But before the song begins, you may know that the trombones and the trumpets and the other brass instruments, they play a series of short and loud blasts to kind of call everybody to attention. And everybody knows when they hear those tones on the brass instruments that the president is about to appear and about to speak. And so everybody quickly quieted down and turned their attention to the podium. And this idea of a trumpet fanfare has been used throughout the ages to announce the coming of the king or a dignitary and that something important was going to happen. And when we come to the Feast of Trumpets, that trumpet call served a similar function for the Israelites. It was meant to announce the presence of Israel's true king, God himself. And in ancient Israel, they used the trumpet. They blew it regularly throughout the year. It was blown every month to announce every new moon. But on this particular day, on this Feast of Trumpets, the trumpet blasts were different. First of all, they were blown repeatedly from sunrise to sunset. One source I read said that there were a total of 100 trumpet fanfares during the daylight hours. And there would be a whole choir of trumpets, priests playing shofars of different sizes, so there'd be low notes and medium notes and high notes all blending together. It must have been loud and attention-getting and quite amazing to be present for. And we read in verse 24 that the day was to be commemorated by trumpet blasts. But really, It was the trumpet blasts themselves that were a memorial. They caused the people to remember. So what exactly did the trumpet blast mean to the Israelites? What were they remembering when they heard it? First of all, it's important to note that the trumpets that were blown were nothing like the brass instruments that we're familiar with. These were shofars. They were made from ram's horns, and the smaller ones, like this one up here, would have been the higher notes, and these long ones would have been those big baritone sounds. And by using the ram horn, that has significance. It would have reminded the Israelites of a time when God had provided. It would have taken their minds all the way back to the time of Abraham. And God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son, even though they were old and past the age of having children. And they waited years, and then God finally gave them Isaac. And then one day, when Isaac was a teenager, God tells Abraham to take Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah. And when he got there, he was commanded to sacrifice Isaac. Just as Abraham was about to carry out this command, God sent an angel. And the angel told him to stop and showed him a ram whose horns had been tangled in the brambles. And God said, sacrifice the ram instead. So the use of the ram horn would remind the people of God's deliverance of Isaac and of God's provision of the sacrifice himself. The trumpet sound itself had significance for them. It was used while they were in the desert, wandering after leaving Egypt. Every time the people needed to be assembled to hear a word from God or instructions from Moses, that trumpet would be blown. The trumpet would have been blown that day that Moses came down the mountain with the law of God. Every time the Israelites were to break camp and move on to a new place, the trumpet was sounded. So this trumpet symbolized God's presence and his guidance for the people. It also symbolized God's dominion, his power over everything. It reminded them that God was with them and God was in charge. This is why the trumpet was used to call the Israelites to battle. The priests would actually go out onto the battlefield and blow the trumpet. And it was not just to call the people to fight, but it was to remind them that the battle belonged to God. It was God's power to win the battle for them. And they had experience of God fighting battles for them. When they were first entering the promised land, God defeated Jericho for them. All they had to do was march around the city for 6 days. And then on that seventh day, they marched around 7 times, and the priest blew a loud blast on the trumpet, and all the people shouted. And then God caused those walls to fall. It was all God's doing. If we look at Numbers 10, verse 9, we can see the ongoing instructions for how to use the trumpet in this way. It says, when you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. So the trumpet blast was not just to call them to battle, but it was to remind them that God was with them, that God would fight for them. And if we look at these verses, it also says that that trumpet blast would call God to fight for them. So it was kind of a mutual calling. That sound of the trumpet also has a royal sense to it, even before the time when Israel had a human king. When that trumpet sounded, their enemies knew that their king was with them. There's a story in Numbers 23 when they were wandering in the wilderness. There was an enemy king named Balak who called on Balaam to curse the Israelites. And in verse 21 of that chapter, Balaam looks out over the Israelites and he claims, "There is no curse I can call out. Their king is with them. I hear the shout of their king." And what he was hearing was the trumpet. And we know that because the word that is translated as shout is the same that's translated as trumpet. And at that point in their history, Israel's only king was God himself, and Balaam recognized that. So the sound of the trumpet announced God's presence, it announced God's provision, and it announced God's power over everything. So this Feast of Trumpets, it served to remind them of all of this rich, wonderful history with God and God's faithfulness. And as you heard in the children's message, this feast came in the fall. It came after the work in the summer and the harvest. And probably during that time, since there were no feasts or special celebrations, they might have kind of grown distant from God during that time. They had been going about the day-to-day work of growing their crops and working in the fields. And maybe by harvest time, if harvest had been good, they might have been tempted to think that this was due to their own work, to their own efforts. Or if it had been a tough year, if there had been a drought or a poor harvest, they might have felt like God had abandoned them. It had been so long since they had heard from him. So this feast coming at harvest time, it was a way to call them back to God. The trumpet call called them back into God's presence. It reminded them that God was still present, that he had provided for them throughout that whole season, and that he was powerful. Basically, it was a reminder of God's royal reign over all of them and over all of life. And there are times when we need a reminder of this as well. Times when we fail to recognize that God continues to reign over all of life. The contemporary testimony, Our World Belongs to God, talks about this. In Article 3, it says, "Despair and rebellious pride fill the earth. Some, crushed by failure or broken by pain, give up on life and hope in God. Others, shaken but still hoping for human triumph, work feverishly to realize their dreams." Sometimes we just feel pulled into doubt when difficulties come, pain and suffering. We might be tempted to give up on God. We wonder, where is he? He doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot. And why does he allow all of this pain and suffering in the world? And then sometimes we rely on ourselves, on our own efforts, rather than on God. I mean, let's face it, in the day-to-day happenings of life, we pretty much have things under control. We can get it done. And we find ourselves relying on our own efforts to try and improve the world and improve our lives. We fail to acknowledge that all that we have, all of our gifts and all of our abilities come from God. By doing that, we're in essence denying God's presence and his provision and his power over us and for us. So as you've been looking at these different feasts, you've heard about how they have a fulfillment in the life and work of Jesus. But how do we relate the sounding of trumpets to the work of Jesus? Well, if we remember that the trumpet was announcing God's reign as king, that is what Jesus was doing. He was announcing the kingdom of God. He was reminding people that God was Lord over all. And he did that through the things he said and the miracles he performed. The trumpet of Jesus' ministry was the preaching of the gospel. And the Greek word for gospel is kerygma. And that word was also used to refer to a herald announcing the arrival of the king. Everything Jesus was doing was announcing the kingdom of God. He was revealing who God was through his person, his words, his actions. His very presence is God's presence with us. But there's also a sense when we look at this Feast of Trumpets that it is still in the process of being fulfilled. It's not finished. The trumpets keep sounding today. Before Jesus returned to heaven, after his resurrection, he passed the trumpet of his ministry on to his disciples. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus told his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus, in the beginning of this, was asserting his royal authority over all of heaven and earth. And out of that authority, he gave the authority to his disciples to go out and make disciples, to preach, to blow the trumpet announcing the kingdom of God. They were the ones to go out and continue that work. They were to call on people to acknowledge Christ as king. They were to preach the gospel. These verses are known as the Great Commission, and that's because they aren't just words that were meant for those disciples that were there with Jesus that day. They're meant for all of us as well. We are commanded to preach the gospel. We are to announce the kingdom and the reign of Christ in this world. It might be easy to think, well, that's just for pastors, those people that get up and preach, and the missionaries. But it is a call for all believers. We're to blow the trumpet in the world. That's how we continue to keep this feast today. And that can be intimidating and scary because there are times when we just feel like we don't have the words to say. We don't have the gifts to do that. But remember, the Holy Spirit was poured out on that day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. That pouring out of the Spirit was like the first trumpet call in this fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. And ever since then, the Spirit is poured out on all believers. And that means the Spirit is in you. The Spirit empowers you to have the words to say and the courage to do it. The Spirit empowers you to tell your own story of what God has done in your lives and what God is continuing to do. The church, that's all of you and all believers around the world, the church blows that trumpet every time we bear witness to God and his kingdom. And it's done not only with words, but with our actions. It looks like church people having a heart for the neighborhood and the city where they are. It looks like people serving in Christ's name. By reaching into the neighborhood through programs like Kids Hope, you are blowing the trumpet. You're proclaiming to the children that the kingdom of God has come by showing them that they are loved, showing them God's love. Blowing the trumpet today looks like sharing the love of Christ wherever God has placed you. I know a woman named Shirley who volunteers every day at a medical building near my house. And she sits at the front desk with a warm smile, ready to give directions to anybody who appears lost. But I have to tell you, every time I go into that building, there are people gathered around her desk, and I know they don't all need directions. They have come to know that Shirley has not just information to share. Shirley has love and joy to share. She has a listening ear. She blows the trumpet of the kingdom through her actions. She doesn't preach. She's never hesitant to say, "My blessings are all due to Jesus," but she just exudes love and joy. They know that she is welcoming and caring, just as our God is. And we are also called to announce the kingdom with our words and our actions and our lives. We're kind of in this in-between time. The Feast of Trumpets began at Pentecost and it continues on. And sometimes when we look around, it's clear that God's kingdom is not fully here on earth as it is in heaven. And we can get discouraged at times, and it can feel like God is far away and uninvolved, because we live in this time of waiting for God's kingdom to fully come. It's been a long time since Jesus' ministry on earth, and a long time since the Spirit was first poured out. And we might begin to wonder if he really will return. The longer we wait, it seems like the world is getting further and further from that kingdom of God that Jesus talked about. We may feel removed from God, and we need to still be reminded that God is in control, that he is still present, that he still provides, that he is still powerful over everything, over all of life. And Jesus must have known that we would need a picture, that we would need something to remind us. At that Last Supper, he took the bread and he poured the wine, and he told the disciples to do the same in remembrance of him, to remember the blood and the body that was given for their sins. 1 Corinthians 11:26 tells us that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when we think of the Lord's Supper in the context of the Feast of Trumpets, every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are blowing the trumpet, and we're also being called back by that trumpet call, called back to God's presence. As we celebrate it, we're announcing that Jesus not only died, but he triumphed over sin and death. He rules over it all. And then we remember and continue to announce. And coming here every Sunday is another way that we are reminded every week. We are in that time of waiting for the feast to be ultimately fulfilled, and that will happen when Christ returns. And we read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. And they tell us, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." We live in this time between that first trumpet call of Pentecost and until that last trumpet call when Jesus will return. But in the meantime, God is present with you. God is with you because the Spirit lives in you. God continues to provide for you. God is still powerful. He is still reigning over everything. In the meantime, we continue to blow the trumpet, announcing the kingdom to all who will hear and believe. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us these pictures of who you are and how you are working in this world, how you control the world. You are all powerful. Thank you for continuing to call us back to you, to remind us of these things. Give us your strength and your courage through the Spirit to continue to blow the trumpet in the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.